Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The founder of the Me Too movement is coming to Fairbanks. Civil rights activist Tarana Burke is scheduled to speak at the University of Alaska Fairbanks April 6th in recognition of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Burke is being brought to campus by the Nanook Diversity and Action Center.
Awesome timing. I think we really swooped in before her schedule filled up.
UAF Diversity and Prevention Coordinator Amy Cross says they reached out to Burke late last year.
Before she was on the Oscars and the Grammys and things like that, so a little bit before she was really starting to take off. And so I think we were able to just kind of swoop in and get her right before she filled up for the rest of the year, because after the new year, I heard from her agent again, and they were like, oh, you're so lucky. She's basically booked out for the rest of the year.
While international attention has blossomed for Burke in recent months, she's been long involved in civil rights and victim advocacy. The Me Too movement dates back to 2006, when Burke founded Just Be Incorporated, an organization focused on the well-being of young women of color. Cross says Burke will share her experiences as an advocate in the talk she gives in Fairbanks.
Tarana will give about an hour to an hour and 15-minute long presentation about the Me Too movement and her work for the last couple of decades, victim-survivor advocacy and preventing sexual violence. And then there will be about 30 to 45 minutes of open question and answer.
Cross says Burke will also take part in a private Friday luncheon with UAF students working in sexual violence prevention and victim advocacy. The cost of Burke's visit is $8,000, which Cross says is being covered by a special UAF fund.
Students who paid fees for not taking their online Title IX training, that went to an account to save up for Sexual Assault Awareness Month this year, and so that's directly how we're paying for it.
Tickets for Tarana Burke's April 6th event are free, but it's happening at UAF Scheibel Auditorium, and seating is limited to 250 people. Tickets are available to UAF ID holders this week at the Wood Center. Cross says any remaining tickets will be offered to the general public next week. An Eagle man faces assault and weapons charges following a shooting incident in the Yukon River community. An Alaska State Trooper report says 54-year-old Brady Wallace shot a rifle toward a friend, damaging the man's home Monday. It says troopers went to Eagle yesterday and arrested Brady. Brady, who troopers say had been drinking the day of the shooting, is charged with assault, weapons misconduct, and criminal mischief. He's being held without bail at Fairbanks Correctional Center. A man was hit by a plane taking off from the Beaufort sea ice. Alaska Public Media reports that the man, whose name has not been released, survived the March 20th accident 140 miles north of Dead Horse. According to the National Transportation Safety Board, the man worked at the Arctic Submarine Laboratory, supporting a U.S. and British Navy submarine exercise. NTSB investigator Clint Johnson says the man was trying to snap a photo for his kids of some Lego toys as a de Havilland Otter took off.
A picture of the small Lego figurines with the airplane in the background.
The NTSB report says the pilot and co-pilot heard a loud thump, had trouble with the plane's controls, and made an emergency landing back on the runway, where they found the man with serious head and neck injuries. He was medevaced out for care. Johnson says the plane, owned by Homer-based Bald Mountain Aviation Service, was not flyable and left behind. He says the Twin Otter has substantial damage to its left wing, and there were plans to use a heavy-lift helicopter to retrieve it from the drifting and deteriorating sea ice. A Fairbanks North Star borough plan to close and demolish the aging Mary Sy Recreation Center is the first of several expected moves to address an estimated $400 million maintenance backlog at more than 200 facilities. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Barbara Bell says she just got back Sunday from her job on the North Slope, and she says one of the first things she wanted to do was take her four-year-old granddaughter Madison to the Mary Sy Rec Center for a swimming lesson.
She loves to swim.
But Bell says she was disappointed when her daughter told her borough officials were considering closing Mary Sy and demolishing it.
She said, oh, well, did you hear on the news that they were going to close the pool? And I was literally heartbroken. I thought, oh my goodness, what a loss for the community.
Mike Bork is director of the Borough Parks and Recreation Department. He says he's been hearing a lot about the proposal to close the rec center.
Trust me, I've been getting it all weekend on social media.
Bork says a lot of the people who've talked to him about the closure didn't take the news as well as Bell did.
There's a very much an emotional reaction going on right now, and I fully understand that.
The proposal to close and demolish Mary Sy is the first of several backlog maintenance projects that Borough Mayor Carl Castle says he and his staff will propose as they're working on next year's budget, which the Assembly will likely consider approving in early May.
The reason we're starting with Mary Sy is the age of the facility and the fact that it is going to require several million dollars over the next couple of years.
Castle says he and his staff concluded renovating Mary Sy wouldn't be practical.
The plaster in the pool is cracked and leaking, as well as the concrete substructure is also cracked and leaking. And so the whole pool itself needs a major rebuild.
The mayor says the building's design is inefficient and no longer complies with state building code. And he says it makes no economic sense to invest more money in the facility.
We're better served by using that money to build a new aquatic center.
The mayor is proposing to replace the rec center and eventually the Hammy Pool with a $35 million aquatics center that would be financed through the sale of bonds that he hopes the Assembly will place on this fall's municipal election ballot.
Hammy also is really beyond its lifespan.
Castle says the Westcott Pool in North Pole should be good for another 5 to 10 years. Belle, who's been coming to Mary Sy since her kids were young, says she now agrees it should come down.
I would imagine that this place has got a lot of problems. You know, I mean, there's no fault of its own, but that it's old. You know, and it needs to be upgraded.
Belle says she was relieved to hear that borough officials were considering asking voters to approve the bond issue to build an aquatic center.
It'll be more efficient, it'll be easier to maintain, easier and cheaper.
Bork says he's heard that from some area residents, and he thinks many of those who've said they're unhappy with the proposal may not have been aware of the backlog of maintenance at Mary Sy and 217 other borough facilities. He says some were relieved when he told them that he and his staff are trying to schedule most, if not all, the Mary Sy classes and swim time at the Hammy Pool.
We're going to do everything we possibly can to make it as easy of a transition, as smooth of a transition, as positive as a transition as possible.
Bork says the closure and demolition of Mary Sy won't require the borough to lay off staff because they'll be reassigned to run the same classes at Hammy Pool. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
This season's Arctic sea ice extent is the second lowest on record. The area of ice coverage is just slightly less than the record low set last year, according to the National Snow and Ice Data Center. The last 4 years have registered the four lowest seasonal maximums on record in the 39-year satellite observation era. The Arctic includes numerous seas, including the Bering on Alaska's northwest coast. Speaking during a monthly climate briefing last week, National Weather Service Alaska Region climatologist Rick Toman described this season's Bering sea ice extent as far and away a record low.
Sea ice has not yet reached St. Matthew Island, even for one day. And of course is hundreds of miles from the Pribilof Islands.
Bering sea ice is also thin.
Ice that's less than a meter and a quarter thick at 78 north at the end of February, beginning of March. That's remarkably low. This does not bode well for this summer for sea ice loss.
Ice-free seas absorb more solar heat, raising water temperatures, Toman says, are already above normal, making it harder for ice to form.
In the past, when the oceans were cooler, you could get more ice because you had to cool less.
Toman says this winter, southerly winds blowing over the Bering Sea combined with the already above normal sea surface temperatures to impede ice formation. I'm Dan Bross.